يعني بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وعليكم السلام. طيب، last week we spoke about few principles and relates of the fard and the haram. إن شاء الله today we continue with the mandub. إحنا we've spoke about the definition of a mandub and we said mandub is sunnah, sunnah, mandub, nafil, the all different words but one meaning. And we said mandub or sunnah or nafil is what the shari' and the shari' is the one that orders, and the one that orders is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what the shari' had ordained on the Muslim nation or had ordained on the servants, or what Allah had ordained on his servants without an enforcement. Without an enforcement. Yani Allah Azza wa Jal does not say must do. He gives you the option to do it, preferably for you to do it. And if you do it, you get hasanat. If you don't do it, you don't get sayyat. Okay, there's a qa'idah that relates to that. He says, okay, هل يجب المندوب بالشروع هل يجب المندوب بالشروع فيه. There is a controversial topic among the scholars. If you start a mandub, like there's a worship of a mandub, you start it, does it become wajib on you? Or is it still sunnah? For example, I came to fast a non-obligatory fasting, Monday or Thursday. I came to fast. Allah, what's a fast? What's a ruling of fasting Monday or Thursday? Sunnah. Okay? I came to fast Monday. And halfway through Monday, I came to fast Monday, and that fasting is sunnah. After I already had the intention, after already I started with the fasting, halfway through the day, it came to mind whether I stopped fasting or not. Okay? Hello, the scholars here, there's a disagreement among the scholars, it's a controversial topic, where Al-Ahnaf say, once you start with a sunnah, it becomes wajib only to complete. So with Imam Abu Hanifa, he says that if you start a sunnah, you must complete that sunnah. It becomes wajib on you. That means, if you break it, you have to make it up. For example, someone fasted a sunnah fasting Monday. He started halfway through the day, he break his fast. He doesn't get a sin for it, but he must make it up that prayer. He must make it up, afwan, he must make up that sunnah fasting. Same thing with the prayer. I started 2 rak'ah, duha for example, I wanted to pray. It's sunnah for me to pray. But once I start praying them, I have to complete it. If I break it, I have to make it up. Okay? Their dalil, their evidence on this is what Allah said, وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ and do not break your deeds. العمل. العمل is the deeds. ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم.
When you say you must keep on doing it, you mean every Monday or just that Monday?
No, just that. Just that worship.
Okay. The rest of the scholars say
No, the rest of the scholars from the Ahl al-Hadith, and we said Ahl al-Hadith are the Shafi'i, Maliki, and Hanabila. They say no, Sunnah is Sunnah. You start it, you don't have to finish it. And if you break it, you don't have to make it up. And their hadith is with fasting, is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, الصائم المتطوع أمير نفسه. The one that's fasting, a non-obligatory fasting, he is the leader of himself. So if he wants to continue. If he doesn't want to continue, he doesn't have to continue. And if he does not continue, he doesn't have to make it up. Only in Hajj and Umrah. Only in Hajj and Umrah, if you are performing a Sunnah Hajj, which means you are performing your second and third Hajj, or performing Umrah, if you break them, you have to make it up. Like for example, I'm going on my 10th Hajj. That Hajj for me is Sunnah. For someone that hasn't been to Hajj, for him is Fard. And I, halfway through the Hajj, after I put the Ihram on, kaza, halfway through the Hajj, or halfway through Arafah, I don't want to finish off my Hajj. La. If you break it, you have to make it up. You have to come back again. So this is another qa'idah and relates of the mandub. Some scholars say, if you start the sunnah, you have to finish it off. If you don't finish it off, you have to make it up. And the rest of the scholars, Imam Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, they say no, only when it comes to Hajj and Umrah. Okay. Also, there is, as we said, there is wajib kifayah, wajib ayn. Last week we said this fard kifaya, fard ayn. And we said fard kifaya is what's obligatory on a community. And fard ayn is what's obligatory on an individual. Is salah was siyam is the fard ayn obligatory on every individual that they must do. Fard kifaya is an obligatory on the community. That if one or two people from the community or whatever number is needed from the community, they do it, then it's enough and sufficient. Also, there is sunnah ayn or sunnah kifaya. Sunnah ayn is most of the sunnah. Was sunnah kifaya is like salawat al-taraweeh, giving salam, adhan and iqama. That are considered to be sunnah kifaya. That this sunnah must be upholded by a member of the community. If one person does it, it's enough. Time. There is also a topic among the scholars, is al-mubah. We said mubah is neutral. And neutral means Allah had given you the option between doing it or not. You do it, you don't get hasanat sayyat. You don't do it, you don't get sayyat or hasanat. Allah, some scholars say, mubah is not a taklif. احنا هي we're talking about احكام التكليفيه فرض سنه حرام مكروه مباح what do they call it احكام تكليفيه احكامتك احكام means orders or rules تكليفيه means responsibility Allah has given you that order of a responsibility to do such an action or not to do such an action some scholars consider مباح is not تكليفي And Allah's not giving you a responsibility here. You can do whatever you want to do. And we said last week that the mubah, essentially everything is mubah. Only what the sharia had forbidden. So when you want to say, if you want to point out something, you have to prove it's haram. You don't have to prove it's halal. You have to prove it's haram. Okay? Because originally everything is halal. Eating pork is halal. You prove to me it's haram. You say, Allah had forbidden pork, so it becomes haram. So when you want to prove something, you prove it as haram, not as halal. Okay, because everything is halal. Everything is halal. Only what the sharia had forbidden. So some scholars consider that mubah is not a hukum taklifi. Why? Because it's not a responsibility. You could do, you can't do.
In other words, nothing's a bid'ah and Until
it's
something
that you do. Okay. Sometimes the mubah, essentially it's wajib. But what you do about it is mubah. Like for example, eating is wajib. You must eat or else you're going to die. But what to eat is mubah. Drinking is wajib. But what to drink from water or liquid is mubah. So essentially, a lot of the mubahat, are wajib. The actual thing of it. But what to do about the mubah is mubah. طيب. Sometimes the mubah turns to mustahab or wajib or haram. Or sunnah or makruh. So sometimes this option that Allah gives you whether to do or not to do, will turn into sunnah or fard, or will turn into makruh or haram. Like for example, eating food is mubah. But if you eat food with the intention to strengthen yourself, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, so eating that food turns to sunnah. So you get rewards out of it. And same thing, hala abaya, it's not sunnah. It's not sunnah, it's mubah. Because this is what's sunnah? Then we say sunnah is what the shari'ah orders. Is there one hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, we are abaya? No, if there's one hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, we are abaya. Huh? No, he said, يعني, that when our shari'ah says you have to have open clothes. And that's why the scholars, and Ibn Qayyim said, the Islamic clothing is anything that's baggy. The actual sunnah, the actual abaya is not sunnah. Because when you say sunnah, you are saying, again, the definition of sunnah. What's a sunnah? It's what the shara had ordered to do without enforcement. That's what the sunnah means. You know, Allah had ordered you to do something, but He didn't enforce it on you. siwak, for example, it's sunnah. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ had ordered us to do it, but he didn't enforce it on us. So when you say sunnah, you are saying an order. Is there a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, Allah had ordered us to wear abaya? La. It's not sunnah. So the actual abaya is not sunnah. Inta, but why do you wear it? Because of the intention of following the Prophet ﷺ. So the abaya, the actual wearing abaya is mubah. But wearing it for the intention of following the Prophet ﷺ became sunnah. So you get rewards for it. Okay? Ghir, for example, miswak. Let's say the Prophet didn't use a miswak. But miswak is sunnah. Why? Because the Prophet ordered to use it. But he did not enforce it on us. And the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to do it, but he did not enforce it on us. If Allah orders us something and enforces it on us, what is it? Fard. But if Allah orders us something, or the Prophet orders something, but does not enforce it on it, sunnah. Like for example, Nabi ﷺ said, siwak. If I didn't want to be too harsh on my nation, I've ordered them to make siwak, to use siwak for every prayer. And that's good for presentation of da'wah. Yeah. I would have ordered them to use siwak for every prayer. So the fard is an order with an enforcement that you must do. Sunnah is an order without enforcement that you are recommended to do. Haram, it's an order that you must not do with an enforcement. And makruh, it's an order that you must not do without an enforcement. And mubah, you are left. Okay, so you can't call anything sunnah unless there is an order. Okay? But to do something that the Prophet ﷺ did because of his natural character, just to follow him for the sake of following him, then you get the rewards of following the Prophet ﷺ, not wearing the abaya. Allah, for example,
sleeping on the floor.
Sleeping. Yeah, but these are natural and nature. But sleeping on the floor, these are nature, because the Prophet wouldn't reject to sleep on a bed. Eating with the hands of sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith. Yeah. Also, sunnah, because the Prophet
from the plate again,
No, that's Pakistani, be sunnah.
Yeah, but if you're gonna, if your hands, you're gonna lick your fingers anyway.
No, but she's talking about, you know, خلاص انت انت.
For the rice, Pakistani.
Eating food for the sake of haram, to get strength for the haram, becomes? So originally eating food is mubah. Traveling, normal travel is mubah. Traveling for the sake of visiting a Muslim brother becomes sunnah. Traveling for the sake of haram becomes? So here the mubah turns sometimes from mubah to sunnah to fard, or turns from sunnah, from mubah to makruh to haram. Okay. Another issue that Mr. Ismail raised up. Okay. We said originally all the actions of the servants of Allah is mubah. Originally all the actions of the servants of Allah is mubah. Only what the Sharia had proved to be haram. This applies on everything except on the worships. And when you say the worship, al-ibadah, worship is any mean or way that you do to get close to Allah Azza wa Jal. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. With the worships, all worships are haram except what the Sharia had allowed. So it's opposite to the other things. Everything is halal except what the Sharia had forbidden. But when it comes to the worships, all worships are haram except what the Sharia allows. So for example, any worship that exists on the surface of this earth, like the worships of the idols, prostrating to idols, or forget about prostrating to idols, because like for example, a prostration just like that to Allah Azza wa Jal, it's haram. You can't just prostrate to Allah just like that. You have to pray. Because this prostration, you have to prove to me that the Prophet did it. Or else it's haram. Opposite to that, other things. We said, everything in the world is mubah, is halal, but you have to prove it's haram. With the worship, all worships are haram, but you have to prove, then it's halal. And that's why this bid'ah topic comes up all the time. Okay? Because any form of worship, any form of worship that the Prophet ﷺ did not do, or the Allah Azza wa Jalla did not allow, or the Sharia does not allow, it becomes a bid'ah. Why? Because even any type of worship is haram unless what the Sharia allows. That's why you call the ibadat tawqifiyya. Ibadat tawqifiyya, ma fi ijtihad. When it comes to the worships of Allah Azza wa Jalla, there's no ijtihad. You can't put your opinion in, and know Allah, this will get you closer to Allah and Allah will be pleased from. But when it comes to dealing and transaction and living your normal life, that's got ijtihad in it. But when it comes to the ibadah, ijtihad, there's no such thing called ijtihad. Allah, sometimes there's a disagreement among the scholars in a few things. Like, for example, Qiraat Yasin and other things that the scholars disagree. Allah, their disagreement is because one has a hadith, for example, that the other one does not accept. It's not like anyone, someone came up with it from nowhere. And when it comes to things like that, the scholars, accepting ibadah without a dalil. But the thing is that the scholars disagree sometimes when it comes to this stuff, is one who is using a weak hadith, or one, for example, interpreted the hadith differently, and that's where the disagreement comes. But originally, there is no worship without an evidence. So originally, all the worships are haram, except what the Sharia allows. Okay?
Talk about it.
If it didn't allow it, there's no room for it.
For example, the Prophet said to remember Allah, dhikr, but he didn't tell you how.
Yeah.
Is it how you remember Allah?
Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, you could remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala however you want to remember Allah. You could remember Allah standing, walking, kaza. But to come up with a procedure of remembering Allah, okay, to come up with a procedure to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Sharia did not allow, or the Sharia did not mention, that you say this gets you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you stop everything and say, listen, you got this from your own thoughts, and when it comes to ibadah, there's no room for ijtihad. I can't put in my opinion. Ibadah is just, it's got to be 100% what Allah wants. When it comes to mu'amalat, there is a room for ijtihad. When it comes to, tafsir, kaza, there is a room for ijtihad. But when it comes to ibadah, mafi, there is no one single room for ijtihad. And that's why, for example, just to prostrate, like, Allahu Akbar, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a prostration for Allah's sake. And like, that's haram. Why? Because that's not an ibadah. Why? Although we have prostration, kaza, kaza, but the Sharia did not allow it. Because you have to prove to me that the Sharia allows it. So all the types of ibadat are haram, only what the Sharia allows. Okay? So originally, all the ibadat, originally everything else besides the ibadat is halal, only what the Sharia forbids. And when it comes to ibadat, all the ibadat are haram, only what the Sharia allows. And that's where the topic of bid'ah and so on come. Okay, and that's why with the ibadah, it's a very sensitive topic. Because you're talking about how to get close to Allah Azza wa Jal. You're talking about something between you and Allah. And you're talking about something that belongs to Allah 100%. When you talk about mu'amalat, you're talking about things that belong to human beings. When you talk about selling, buying, marriage, jihad, so on, that's dealing with human beings. But when you talk about ibadah, you're talking about 100% to Allah. So it's got to be 100% the way Allah Azza wa Jal wants it. Not the way, wallah, you think it gets you. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad said, everything that gets you closer to Allah, I've shown you. And everything that makes you away from Allah, I've shown you. And subhanAllah, there's no beautiful hadith than this hadith. So there's no need for me or you to come up with a new way or procedure or any way of thinking that, wallah, mean you might think, wallah, this gets me closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Masabha ma na ibadah, unless you take it as ibadah. Masabha, okay, no scholars, okay, even the scholars that carry the longest masbaha would disagree to say, if you take masbaha as ibadah, is acceptable. Mafi. Masbaha is a mean to count, I'm just using it to count. I'm not taking it as ibadah, just to keep my track. Mafi ashi. Mafi ashi abadan. There's no disagreement among the scholars, okay? Hatta as I told you, the sheikh that carries along the musbah will say, wallah, sheikh, can I carry this musbah for the sake of ibadah? He's going to say yes. Because that's 100% bid'ah. But to carry it for the sake of Allah, of counting, or keep track of what I'm counting on, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, same thing that, for example, you use this tape to keep track of the lesson. Same thing, you use a car to keep to get you here. That went at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if you take your car for, yani, inna wallah, I'll drive my car as a ibadah, man, that's not when it becomes acceptable. Hala, we talk about ahkam al-wad'iyyah. We spoke about ahkam taklifiyyah. Ahkam taklifiyyah means rules and laws that apply on you to as a responsibility. Now there's ahkam wad'iyyah, rules and laws that make those ahkam taklifiyyah correct or incorrect. Okay. There are five main things that revolve around making the hukm al-taklifi, whether it's fard, or sunnah, or mubah, or haram, or makruh, whether it makes it correct or incorrect. It says here, sabab, the reason. For the fard, for example, to be accepted, there is a reason for it. For example, for duhr to be accepted, the timing of duhr must enter, which is zawal al-shams. For you, your fajr to be accepted, the dawn must be there. Mafiq didn't arrive at 3 o'clock a.m. when Fajr enters at 5 o'clock. So the reason of Fajr is the entrance of time. The reason of fast Ramadan is the entrance of the month of Ramadan. So there are reasons for a lot of the ahkam al-taklifiyya. It's not a must, but there are a lot of reasons for ahkam al-taklifiyya that the ahkam al-taklifiyya are incorrect without. And they call that the sabab. They call that the sabab. So without the sabab, there's no hukum taklifi. Okay, like for example, also with the mu'amalat. Okay, to perform a retaliation on someone, he must have the sabab of killing someone. So there is a sabab. Most of the ibadat and mu'amalat have a sabab. Without the sabab, that mu'amala or that ibadah is incorrect and it's not acceptable. Okay. The other thing is the condition. A lot of the ibadat and mu'amalat have conditions. Without those conditions, the ibadah or the mu'amal is incorrect. And with the condition is different than the rukun. Fi shart or fi rukun. Shart is an obligatory action, a condition that must be done, which is outside the essential thing of the worship. Like for example, Salah. You can't pray without Tahara, wudu. Wudu with Salah without wudu is incorrect. But is wudu part of the Salah? Is it in the Salah? It's not in the Salah. It's outside the Salah. But without it, you can't pray. Now wudu is called shart, condition. And the sujood al-ruku', which is a structure of the actual Salah, is called rukun. So the rukun and shart have one thing in common, that the action or the ibadah or the mu'amala is not accepted without it. But the difference is, shart is outside the actual action, and rukun is inside, and it's part of the actual action. Okay. And there's two types of shart. The shart wujub and shart sahha. The shart wujub, an obligatory condition. And shart sahha, a correct condition. Shart wujub, an obligatory condition, is a condition that makes the action obligatory. Like for example, one for you to get around the money of the zakat is a shart, a condition for that money to be taken out. So when you have that $1,000 becomes fard on you to take 2.5% after one full lunar year goes around that $1,000. So that one full year to get around that $1,000 is a shart wajib. To make that wajib, that shart is a necessity to make that wajib fard. Shart sahha, okay, is a condition that makes the worship correct, which is like the tahara for the salah. The third thing is al-mana'. Al-mana' is a barrier. Mana' is a barrier that becomes a barrier from not allowing this action to proceed. Like for example, A father kills his son. Usually if someone kills someone, it's a retaliation of death. But there is a manner of retaliation. There is a barrier of retaliation. What is it? That the man that killed this person is the father of him. And the Sharia does not allow a father to be killed for his son. For his son's killing. So if a father kills his son, they don't kill the father. Because that's his father. Okay, but if the son kills the father, they'll kill the son. Okay? Essentially, if someone kills someone, there's a retaliation of death. But if the father kills the son, okay, there is a barrier not allowing that retaliation to proceed. Another example, the marriage contract of a female that got divorced before the ending of a three-menstrual cycle is incorrect. Why? Because there is a barrier from making the marriage contract being correct because of her iddah not over. So there is something called mana. Mana is a barrier that does not allow the action to proceed. Does not allow the action to be correct. Okay, and the last two things is as-saha wal-fasad. Valid and invalid. Most of the actions, they're either valid or invalid. Most of the worships are either valid or invalid. All the worships are either valid or invalid. All the transactions are either valid or invalid. Okay? When it comes to the ibadah, okay, if it's valid, that means it's accepted and you're no longer questioned about it. If it's invalid, that means it's not accepted and it's still around your neck and you're going to be questioned about it. With the mu'amalat, valid or not valid? Like for example, if me and you buy and sell correctly, then the money that's been exchanged between me and you, the money I gave you became your money. And the thing that you gave me in return became my thing. So it became a valid transaction. But invalid transaction is, for example, when I give you $100 and you return back to me $110, which is riba. That $100 that you return back to me, it's mine. But that extra $10 became invalid transaction, which is the ownership did not transfer to me. The ownership is not transferred to me. That extra $10 is invalid to be part of my property. Invalid, okay? Or for example, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forbid to sell dogs or pigs. And I came a soldier, I picked for $100. That's an invalid transaction. That $100 that I gave you, it does not belong to you because the ownership of the $100 did not transfer to you in the sight of the Sharia. So this is an invalid transaction. So valid transaction, or valid worships are worships that have been accepted and you're no longer to be questioned about and you don't have to make them up. Invalid worships are worships that you did them incorrectly and you're still responsible for them and you're going to be questioned. Valid transactions are transactions that the ownership had been exchanged or the actual things had been done. Like for example, marriage. If the conditions of marriage apply and everything's correct, then that man gets married to this woman. That means the haram becomes halal to him. Invalid marriage, okay, it means, for example, a woman came without a wali and two witnesses. A woman came without a wali and two witnesses. And wali is a condition. Without it, the marriage is incorrect. And they did the marriage. They call that invalid marriage. That means invalid marriage, that means what's haram from having the sexual intercourse, it didn't become halal because it's an invalid contract. And that's why they call the valid ibadah or the valid transaction or mu'amala, they call it sahih. The invalid, they call it fasid or batil. They call it fasid or batil. Okay? So one's called sahih, the other one called fasid or batil, although the ahnaf differentiate between fasid and batil, where the rest of the scholars, the majority of scholars, the Ahl al-Hadith, which are the Malikis and the Shafi'is and the Hanabila. Remember how I said at the beginning of the lesson, al-usuliyin, usul al-fiqh scholars are divided to two, محدثين ومتكلمين وأهل الرأي عفوا متكلمين وأهل الرأي. أهل الرأي هم أهل الأحناف، ومذهب المتكلمين هم مذهب أهل الحديث وهم الحنابلة والشافعية والمالكية. And the أحناف their principle وصول الفقه is all the time big. يعني you find them for example فرض أن واجب to the مذهب أهل الحديث أو المتكلمين it's one. أحناف لا، عندهم فرض is one thing، واجب is another thing. Same thing عندهم الأحناف، فاسد is one thing and باطل is another thing. عندهم فاسد is a transaction that part of it is not acceptable. If that part is being correct, later on to be corrected will be acceptable. Where باطل is fully not. And that's a bit of confusing. So, الأحكام الوضعية. أحكام وضعية means rules and laws that are put to be a condition for the أحكام التكلفية to be accepted. And we said that the سبب, the reason, والمانع, a barrier, والشرط, a condition, والصحة, valid, والفساد, invalidity. أو باطل. Okay? بس عند الأحناف عندهم فساد one thing, وباطل another thing. فالواحد يعني for example, واحد صلى الصلاة الظهر قبلها بساعة. بتقول له هذا باطل. بس واحد صلى الظهر بعد صلى الظهر بعد عندهم الأحناف بسموها باطل. باطل فاسد نفس الشيء. invalid. Okay. بس عند الأحناف عنده باطل شيء وفاسد شيء. يعني for example عندك واحد صلى الظهر قبل الظهر بساعة بسموها هي باطل. واحد صلى الظهر بعد الأذان الظهر بساعة يعني pray then it's time. But for example he forgot something in the prayer. بسموه فاسد.
Something which is fard in the prayer.
It's not fard. Something which is for example واجب to them in the prayer. Right. بسموها فاسد. عرفت؟ يعني preferable for him to repeat his prayer. هيك الأحناف. بس لا. بس عند the rest of the جمهور. فاسد باطل is one. One is valid. One is invalid. These are the conditions. Here as I said. أصول الفقه most of it's common sense. But it's just as rules and laws put and then pen and paper.
Question
not regarding this part. Yeah. If the brothers have a question regarding this, anyone with a question regarding this?
Yeah, Sheikh, it's about the miswak. And if the toothbrush is a miswak, consider
it as a miswak. The scholars say anything that's thick and cleans the teeth is a miswak. Even if it's your finger. Anything that cleans the teeth is miswak. But preferably is that miswak. But toothpaste does exactly the same job as miswak. So even if you use toothpaste, it's acceptable. And you get the rewards of miswak, no doubt. And without any disagreement among the scholars. But taban, the stick is... because the Prophet did it. But the whole idea of miswak is to clean the teeth. And if you do it with any way, hatta some scholars said with your thick finger, if you clean your teeth, it's acceptable. Come on. That's why you find some people, when they make wudu, they start doing this if they haven't got miswak.
But if you got if you already got miswak on, you don't have to use your fingers, no?
No. Yeah. And besides, anything that cleans the teeth, that's what the scholar said. Anything that cleans the teeth, even if it's a cloth, main thing the teeth to be cleaned. Yeah. And toothbrush is considered to be miswak. But then go and put a toothbrush here and walk around and Allah before you pray. I saw someone doing al khalas with
Yaman. All worships are haram until they are accepted in religion.
Until they are allowed, yeah.
Yeah. We're sitting, we're shepherding something similar with that. Yeah. Just talk further, maybe just talk about it.
And hello, with the ibadat, ibadat tawqifi. Shani tawqifi. When you say tawqifi, you stop where Allah and His Prophet said. That's it. When it comes to ibadat, okay, every worship is haram until you prove it. It's right. Like for example, okay, reading Quran is haram. Reading Quran is haram, but you have to come to me and say, prove it to me that the Sharia allows. So I'll say, Allah said, "Watlu ma unzil alayk." So I have to prove to you from the Quran and the Hadith that reading Quran is acceptable, and of course, it's acceptable. Okay, praying that prayer or prostrating is haram. That prayer that you pray to, rak'ah, is haram. I have to prove to you that The Prophet, the Sharia allowed me to do it. So how do I prove it here? It's either by the Quran or Hadith. That's why, for example, if you get يعني, a bunch of people who are praying a prayer that we've never heard before, we come up to them and say, Akhi, this prayer is haram. Prove it to us by the Sharia that it's permissible.
And
worship the Sunnah, that's it. No, mustahil. Tawqifi. When I say tawqifi, it's only stopped with the Quran and Hadith. Mafi.
In worships.
When it comes to mu'amalat, that's when you go fi qiyas, ujtihad, amr al-sahabi, kaza, 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 kaza. For example, there's brothers that get together and make a jama'i dhikr and start saying things that. Like, for example, they say things that the Prophet ﷺ didn't say. Or they say things that we've never heard before. Ya akhi, proof it to us by the Quran and Sunnah that the Prophet did it. Or else, straight away, automatically, it's haram. And when you proof it to us by Quran and Sunnah, mafi get proof it to me by something yani, very, very weak. You have to have something solid because you're talking about. And you have to have something solid. Mafi la'ib when it comes to ibadah. When it comes to mu'amalat, when it comes to other things, eh, mafhumi fi yani akhdu ata. Why? Because this is something between you and the servants of Allah. Allah has a right in it, but you have a right in it. But when it comes to ibadah, it's 100% Allah's right. So Allah wants 100% His way. Mafina, I know, wallah, mean you put in what we think. That's why when it comes to the ibadah, tawqifi. Shani tawqifi, yani khalas. Stops with the Prophet ﷺ and Allah Azza wa Jalla said. Mafi, you know, and when he say tawqifi, you know what the Prophet ﷺ did. What the Prophet ﷺ did. Wallah, akhi, these people, if they want to really listen, they'll listen. If they don't want to really listen, they're following their desires. Wallah, it's only desires. لأنه يا أخي لا تأخذني. We say about the Ummah being divided. But then you're the one that's dividing this. What? Like, don't take from me, and I don't take from me. Just let's stick to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What he did. What's so confusing about that? أنت you wanna, wallah, you feel good this way. طبعا I feel good when I take a smoke marijuana and it gets me high, يا أخي. And I start thinking about Allah and I take this as a worship. If it makes you feel good, it makes me feel good, يا أخي. Hey, ما في إنه والله واحد. It's not about how I feel good. It's not about how you feel good. You know what I mean? Ahl Makkah, they told the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, "You want us to make our butts higher than our heads to prostrate to your Lord? We're not gonna do that." But when it comes to ibadah, when it comes to worships, it stops with Allah and His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh, it stops with the Prophet did. And Subhanallah, والله أحلى من ديننا ما في. يا أخي, don't take from me. I don't take from you. Let's stick to what we learned in the machine. Alhamdulillah.
When you say worships. The worship itself, you have to do it as the Prophet ﷺ did it. What if there's difference in opinion on the way to do it? For example, the prayer.
Mostly, that's where the disagreement comes.
Yeah.
Yani, no, that's why. Yani, like most of the scholars disagree on that, but that's where the disagreement comes among the
on
scholars.
How to do the actual worship?
How to do it, and that's why, akhi, it's so simple. Let's just stick to the Prophet ﷺ. And yani, what's so confusing about that? Why don't you just be on the safe side? Why don't you just do what the Prophet ﷺ did? خلاص أحلى منا ما في you know what I mean yeah, just be on the safe side.
Everyone's sticking to what the Prophet said because everyone's using that as an evidence.
No بقول لك the Prophet didn't do it but it's allowed because
no,
of this and that.
This one says the Prophet did this and will give you dalil and this one says the Prophet did this and will give you dalil.
No, they can't give you a dalil
because you know how
they wouldn't give you a dalil. They would tell you Allah opened it and you could do it this way.
Yeah, generally.
Generally. But يا أخي, did the Prophet do it?
Specific.
بقول لك لا, didn't the Prophet do it? يا أخي, since you know the Prophet didn't do it, what are you arguing for? Like for example, يعني إخواننا الصوفيين, for example. Okay, take them as an example. Okay, my brothers, my Muslim brothers, عيني وراسي وكذا وكذا وكذا. Okay, بقول لك يا أخي, did the Prophet do it? بقول لك no, he didn't do it. ولا واحد بقول لك he did it. Did the companions do it? لا. طيب أخي, what did you do? بقول لك الله أذكره ذكر. يا أخي, طب ليش الخربطة هاي؟ طب why هلا فضوا؟ Let's stick to what the Prophet did. Let's be happy, mean you happy, and mean you alhamdulillah on the safe side. Why do you have to هذا؟ يعني sorry to say, you just proved the point to me now that you're just following what you feel like, you know, because you feel comfortable towards it.
Man,
say none of them will say.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Athkuru Allah kathira."
Generally,
they say mutlaq. They say it's open, but he didn't.
Yeah, but if there was khair in it, you have to understand. We are disgracing the Prophet this way. Why? Because if there's a khair in it, who would have done it? In inta what? Did you beat the Prophet ﷺ into something that he didn't say?
But that's
an upsetting thing, you know what I mean? Let's stick to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and that's it. Finished. And kaza kaza. But did the Prophet do it? If there was khair in it, you have to know that the Prophet would have done it. You have to know that the Prophet would have done it. You see, this is the thing that people forget. Like, for example, the Shia say, Abu Bakr used to pray with a sanam around his neck behind the Prophet. I was talking to one of them, and said, Subhanallah, he didn't disgrace Abu Bakr, put him on the side. He disgraced the Prophet here. Because how would he allow someone behind him pray with the sanam around his neck? And the mabahdalt Abu Bakr, the mabahdalt the Nabi.
You say you can't pray like this because you
hide idols in your head. And the mabahdalt the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam.
You come up with the weirdest things.
Yani no, say,
is that why they hide the rock in
the... Yani mitl hek shaghlat, yani, no. Yani we looked at the one thing, but enta mabahdalt Abu Bakr. Khalas, hutta anaja. Let's say it was true, which is no way. Enta mabahdalt the Nabi hona. He just disgraced the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ allowed himself to pray, and behind him someone put on the salam. That's the biggest contradiction here. Harifah? الواحد's got to be aware. And for example, Allah said, اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا. And this is one of the ways. But say, أخي, hold on a second. Do you think if the Prophet ﷺ didn't know this khair in it, he would have not did it? Do you think the Prophet ﷺ hesitated to do that? And it's like he made the Prophet ﷺ that he had the opportunity to get closer to Allah and he didn't. The Prophet ﷺ knew this khair, the Prophet ﷺ will be the first one. And that's why alayhi salatu wasalam said, everything that gets you closer to Allah, I've shown you. Everything that makes you away from Allah, I've shown you. Very simple.
What if you do something which is not, for example, let's say celebrating, or not celebrating, remembering the night of Isra or the Mulad al-Nabi?
Ayman ibadah.
What would be the ruling on that? Disliked or?
Hello, with the celebrating the Mawlid al Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, celebrating Isra, Hijra, they're not ibadah.
No,
they're not under the category. If it's remembrance, hello, sure, if it's remembrance, if you want to really look at it, ya akhi, ahna, we're getting together to remember that blessed time for the sake of motivating people, kaza. Ma fikit all wrong. But see, here, yani, it's a topic that bleeds a lot of haki, kaza, kaza, kaza. Khalas, for the sake of the unity of the Muslims, let's keep away from it because we're not in need of it. Okay? أنا ماني مجبور عليها. شغلة أنا ماني مجبور عليها. Something that I'm not forced to do, and I'm going to get harm out of it. خلاص, let me just be away from it. You know what I mean? Especially, no, يعني, no, it's not an essential part of the deen. ولا الصحابة حكوا فيه. يعني, for example, يا أخي, this year is Mawlid al-Nabi. We're going to get together just to remind people about the greatness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, ما فيك تقول إنه أنا بعمل حرام لأنه ما عم بعمل عبادة ولا عم بعمل شيء يعني. I'm just giving da'wah on the day of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. بس يعني إنه just people take it out of line. People بعدين the bad effect of it later on becomes like Eid, becomes my son and your son. We spread it later on and then explain it to the children, becomes like a worship to them.
Yeah.
And that's how things start. So originally, maybe, you know what I mean? Originally, like, hey, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a lot of the things, like for example, why didn't the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continue praying Taraweeh and Jama'ah?
Afraid
in the future that becomes fard, you know what I mean? So things like that, you pause yourself and pull out, you know? Like for example, and essentially if you want to think about it, it's not an ibadah. Just get together to remind people about Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's nothing wrong with it. He originally, محد بقول لك فيه wrong with it. But حتى كمان حتى those ones are really strict about it. They say exactly the same thing. Okay, بس بقول لك إيه, later on is being taken out. Which the point, you know what I mean? أنا بكرة أنا if my son's son wasn't explained to him properly, he thinks that أنا remember when I was young, going to Mawlid al-Nawwah. Mawlid al-Nawwah is part of the deen. We are not part of the deen. He's got that bad side effect, you know what I mean? You know, and slowly, and things like that, and people have to be aware. And al-Baraq couldn't have kept Biktab. And you know, everyone's waiting for me to say the Fatiha. So I said, Ikhwani, Fatiha is not part of the Sunnah. It's not part of the marriage. If you want to read Fatiha for the sake of Barakah and Tawfiq, read it. People accepted it. Allah, give it another few more years. You tell people, don't read it, they'll accept it more. But لما تيجي تقول لهم, bang! على طول عرز ما حد accepted. But why is that problem? Because years before, maybe centuries before, it wasn't explained to people that wallahi we read it for the sake of barakah and tawfiq. So now the generation, what do they think? They think Fatiha is part of it. So see the consequences that happened of it? They think that Fatiha is part of it.
Both.
Both. That's why I all the time say at the end of it, because people, خلاص, that it's part of them. فإحنا, to get them aware, because if you're going to say, listen, forget about it, كذا, لا, they're going to debate. And once someone puts himself in a position of debating, he wants to fight for it, even if he's in the wrong. فذاتس why we're getting used to people before we say, okay, أخي, do it, but remember one thing, it's not part of the sunnah, and it's not part of the كتب كتاب. If you want to do it for your sake, to make dua, for example, for the guy, okay, do it. Allah, slowly people accept it. Give it 2 more years with that way of speaking to people, then you tell them, listen, don't do it, people accept it at the end. I'm going to come bang on people, mahad, until you want to stop. And inshallah, all the plan of the shuka, inshallah, to stop these things. But you want to stop it, not wallah, increase from it. Because what happens is, you get someone bi'annad hik, bitla' like another group, but he wants to revive it. You're just getting people to revive it. وكذا فالواحد انا انا وانا جت ان اوبجكتيف وهيك يعني الواحد ثينكس اهيد فيعني مثل يعني مثل هيك امور يعني مثل مولد النبوي مثل كذا 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 the scholars that disagree with it is because the future what's going to happen you know man بس originally ما حد no one would tell you there's anything wrong with that حتى the most strict الشيخ that tells you مولد النبوي بدعه بقول لك يا اخي انا معك there's nothing wrong with it reminding people كذا 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 but tomorrow people are going to take it as a fard. Which is true. And that's what's been happening with people, you know what I mean? For that's why, for example, okay, I don't have to do a celebration. It's got to be on that day. For example, Mawlid al-Nabu is today. We end a lesson on Thursday. There's nothing wrong with it, you know what I mean? Heka becomes, accepting to people. I'm in a celebration. Thursday night is already there, and the Sheikh spoke about it. It's all right.
Isn't another fix on this also to celebrate birthdays as well?
No, birthdays because it's the action of the non Muslims. It's haram because of the actions.
It leads to that, he's saying.
Sorry?
Mahmoud, you're saying that it leads to celebrating birthdays.
For example, now, if you're going to accept this, then why aren't we accepting the fact of remembering Mullah Masan's birthday?
Could be.
Didn't the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say in a hadith, do not overpraise me?
Yeah, but some Mawlid al-Nabawi is not overpraising the Prophet.
Some people I'm saying, some general people.
Some people think the Prophet is created from Nuh. There's a Sufi group in Pakistan. Wherever the Imam prays, all the time behind them there's a white tissue, or what handkerchief, they leave empty. You ask him who's that for, and the Prophet comes pray here. And what? And he's not him, but he's created from Nur. It led to what? That group, look into its history. They were probably better than us. But heka, one simple thing. Yalla, doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter.
That thing there, and us, the people of today, they have exaggerated on things. For example, that you're right, we should stop it fully now before it gets worse later on.
Has these things stop it, but these things are already there. You want to stop it?
No, I'm saying.
These things are already there. But you want to stop it, don't you? But the attitude that some brothers have is never going to stop it. It's just wasting your time, causing enmity, hatred, and division in the man. That's I want to stop. How are you going to stop? Work on how to stop it. Teach your people. Teach your people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took him 15 years to stop the companions drinking alcohol. Why? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't care about them stopping now or saying it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cares about them to stop forever. And he managed to do that. And Aisha said, if the first thing that was revealed by Allah Azza wa Jalla, this haram, this halal, people would have said, we didn't care about haram, we didn't care about halal. One's all the time got to look ahead, okay? What's my objective in life? It's to stop. What's my objective in life? Is to stop that haram. And inshallah, one day I'll stop that haram. But how am I going to stop it? Inshallah, it takes me 100 years, but I'm sure to stop it. And Allah, for example, wallah, I'll see difference in the way people respond to Fatiha now. Especially those people, you tell them, do it, but it's not part of the Fatiha. give him another few more years. They tell him, stop it with the stopper. They accepted it. Nak am ta'tih shway shway. But in the tell him not to do it now. Wallah, harb ya'milu alayha. Wallah, harb ya'milu alayha. Wallah, they'll declare war. And what he did now, he just revived a group of people that call for it.
But you know something, Sheikh? And on that point, he said something very good. If you're saying that the majority of the Mashiach, the concern was, if they reject you, and cause problem, who are they going to say? Like, for example, if you turn around and say stop, what are they going to do? Exactly.
What are they going to do?
They're not going to stop.
Has doesn't matter, but they're not going to stop at the end of the day. Hello, do you think people listen to Shukha?
No, but hello, what are they?
If people listen to Shukha, there'll be no problems in the community.
So they're the Ahbash.
No, but what I'm saying,
Sheikh. You know who they're going to go to?
Look, who cares if they speak? Well, what's the effects?
Yeah, has we just said who cares if they speak? See, that's the wrong attitude. Let me speak. I got your point. I'll give you my point.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not about these people going to this Sheikh. These people in the head, Fatiha is part of it. They don't care about what this Sheikh says and what that Sheikh says. If they really care about what this Sheikh, if people really care what the Sheikh say, then there'll be no problems in the community. People don't care sometimes what the Sheikh say. Khalas, it's built in their head that Fatiha is Kaza. Why? Because I saw my dad like this. And I've seen my grandfather like this. And I've seen Kaza like this. Khalas, it's stuck in them. And it's not gonna. For Inta, it's a disease. Inta, you wanna take the disease out. Inta's like a doctor, you wanna take it out. Arafat, so you work and operate, you work as an operation to take it out of them. Wallah, they don't care about what this Sheikh says or what that Sheikh says. When you go to this Sheikh, the Ma'azaba will go to another Sheikh. Or the Ma'azaba come in, but the Sheikh will not understand. That's how people are.
For example, before we had this sort of attitude of the speaking certain things here, because, masalan, for example, it contradicts to, what, for example, what Sheikh Desh says. And you don't want the people to start causing problems with the Mashiach. That was a major problem before, you know. Like,
and it's not, Bishop, before, until now, because Inta as a Muslim, yeah. you don't bring fitna among the Muslims.
No, that's right, but
and Allah, for example, if someone asks me something, and if I'm going to respond something that's going to cause a fitna in here, I didn't say the truth here. I just made the fitna that Allah's not pleased from. So I didn't please Allah here.
No, mazbud, but what I'm saying, Sheikh, if the Mashiach all agree not to do it like he said, then you can be a little bit firm.
Arfani has, but people are not going to accept it. I'm put the Mashiach on the side. People are not going to accept it. They're just not going to accept it. Ya khi salli ala nabi. Okay. Is there anyone better than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Illa fi ahad better than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then why didn't the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam move the Kaaba and put it in the original place? He told Aisha about Allah, if your people were new in the deen of Allah, all of this demolish the Kaaba right now and rebuild it the proper way that's got to be built. Then why didn't they do it? And that's a prophet. Who's going to object? Where are they going to go? Let him go. Where are they going to go to another prophet? It's the prophet did it. Lema amala ya akhi. Fahimni le. You know, the Prophet ﷺ doesn't think the way, wallah, some of us think, khalas, it's got to be done, it's got to be spoken, it's got to be said. The Prophet ﷺ knows these people are not going to accept the khalas, heck.
No, but what I'm saying, Sheikh, Kamanda plays a very big role.
Ya Habibi, inta fahimna, Hajj. Listen.
Still,
I'm saying,
to this day,
Ya Habibi,
put the hand up and say,
but at the end of the day, if you want to go to the Sheikh, you go to him. And I just told you an incident, explain it to me. Where the Sahaba going to go to? Inta am tuli, where the people going to go? They're going to go to the Sheikh or the Sheikh. So where the Sahaba going to go? Going to another Prophet? Why didn't the Prophet do that? Inta, explain that to me.
Because they were new to Islam.
Ya Habibi, 22 years in deen, and the Sahaba, new to Islam, are you willing to sacrifice the sacrifice? Do you have the Iman Inta now, that what they have? Like, that Iman is 100 million times better than all of us.
That's like a nation, you know?
Yeah, Hazman, a nation, Hazla. Are you talking about a nation here too?
No, but we're talking about now.
Look, you're talking about a nation?
Has
there's no difference about the example I've given and the way you're saying it. Okay, people have Fatiha as a habit, which is wrong. And you're saying is, since it's right and the Sheikh agree on it, well then you change it. And I'm telling you exactly. Listen, you have to remember too, there's a lot of people so-called Sheikh, you know what I mean? And a lot of people look up to them.
Now, for example, you're saying an example like, the only point I'm trying to make here is the fact that you're saying it's my father, but at the same time they could say, no, my sheikh did it.
Arfan, you know, Habibi, that's what I'm telling you. And I'm telling you, these people, There's people that take people's shiucha, they're not shiucha.
But what I'm saying is, there is my sheikh.
You're one sheikh who tells them before you do the fatha, this is not of the sunnah, but we'll do it. But what he's saying is, why don't the mashaykh say this as well, to slowly teach the people?
Slowly educate the people, because the thing is, everyone,
there's a lot of things that the shiucha have to do. You know, there's a lot of shiucha, and there's a lot of shiucha that don't even come and pray in the mosque. Mm. And there's hundreds of things of shiucha. And not every sheikh does his responsibility, you know what I mean? From every 1,000 sheikh, you'll be lucky to find one sheikh that really does what he's got to do. Out of every 1,000 sheikh, you'll be lucky to find one sheikh that really does what he's got to do. You know what I mean? Man, you've got people like this, you've got people like that. But at the end of the day, we deal with people with hikmah, the way of prophet.
That would be a major problem too, you know. Like as Ahmed said, like, for example, if the sheikh, he's thinking Mashiach the fitna, because of the fitna, but at the same time, the people could take him as though, look, he's approved it too. But because he hasn't explained it, look, a sheikh turns up and does the fitha thing,
there's a lot of things in life. There's a lot of major issues.
The point is, there is a lot of major issues. The mentality of the Mashaykh, like, for example, if you're saying, the Sheikh sometimes looks at, he doesn't want to answer the truth because of the fitna, but at the same time, he's looking at it that way, but the people listening are not going to think what the Sheikh is thinking. You know?
You've got a point here.
Yeah.
Okay, people are taking it wrong, but there's a fitna that's going to happen. So you've got the choice between let people keep quiet and take that wrong and work on it slowly, or make a big fitna. How come when people came to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, they came to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, when Uthman prayed 4 rak'ah in Muzdalifah, when he was supposed to pray 2 rak'ah, and told him Abdullah bin Mas'ud, then the Prophet said, pray it too? He said, pray it too. He said, well, don't you say something? He said, no, I'll keep quiet and not make a fitna among the Muslims.
I don't know, I heard that.
Four, two,
what?
Supposed to pray two, not four. Two, in Muzdalifah. You pray two, and you pray Mina, one of them, and Uthman prayed four. Yeah, Arafah, yeah, Muzdalifah, and Uthman prayed four. So the companions came to Abdullah bin Abbas and Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Well, think probably come on both of them. A few companions were approached. Well, then, well, you know, Uthman did so. You know, didn't the Prophet do it? He kept quiet. He said, no, I'd rather keep the Muslims together, you know, they're better than making a fitna. He used hikmah, you know, everything comes later. Inna wallah bas ana wala, I want it this way, because divide the Muslims, cause mischief.
You've got a problem with your wife. Do you talaq ahadu ghil straight away? Do you have a jawaz?
The point is here, the fact which caused a lot of, making a lot of people having these views, is the fact that of the Mashaykh's leniency towards such issues, you know?
There can be a major problem with it.
And not leniency in terms of...
Using hikmah is not leniency.
No, what I'm trying to say is...
Because if you're going to keep on saying that, I'll give you 100 million ahadith about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you could call him a lenient man.
I'm not saying leniency towards certain things, but I'm just saying...
Not every Sheikh is doing his job, you know what I mean? Not every sheikh is doing his job.
Now, every one of us slowly finds out the fatiha is not part of the sunnah, so half of us have stopped.
The point is not the fatiha itself.
No, you're talking about everything and other things.
Not every sheikh is doing his job. There's a lot of shuha, so called shuha, you know?
Just like, for example, talk about yourself, you know? Yourself and the brothers around here. And if we have started adopting that sort of the right mind frame, what's halal and haram, slowly the brothers, look, within here,
will grow, and the majority of us will grow with this, and then the whole environment will adopt this, and at the end, isn't it happening? Yeah.
Maybe it's happening slowly, and it's getting there, inshallah, after 100 years. You've got people that adopted them.
Well, to be honest with you, I see it should toughen up very strong here.
Right? Wallah, as you see it, though, I'll see it different, Haz.
Yeah, but if you jump on the microphone and say that what
happened, if it's toughening up, it's going to get us somewhere, we'll do it. But if toughen up is not going to get us anywhere, only go behind, it's pointless.
If you're saying that people start thinking their own ways, listen,
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This time, if toughening up is going to benefit the deen, we'll do it. But if toughening up is just going to show people, Allah, I'm tough.
And at the end, just going to make me go behind in my deal.
We haven't got time for things like that.
What just means be a bit more firm on these issues.
It's just a firm. Has this firm in issues, has this time for being firm, And this time we have to, you know, hold your breath a bit, you know what I mean? You know, because your objective is to get there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean, wallah, if I'm not firm here, doesn't mean I'm not firm inside, wallah, I don't want to be firm. It's just not the right time to be firm, because it's not the right time to get somewhere, you know what I mean?
If he answers something on the microphone,
we should say, alhamdulillah, look, these are aware that our fathers and mothers do have. They're not major.
No, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of things changing, you know? Why isn't that? Some people might look at it, wallah, it's lenient. It's not leniency, you know what I mean? If you want to call that, then you call the Prophet lenient. How can people, and how many things the Prophet came? How many things that, wallah, he wasn't if being firm there? A lot of things. Sulh al-Hudaybiyah is the biggest example. He gave all the advantages to the kuffar, not even one advantage to the Muslims. Not even one advantage to the Muslims. He's a lenient man, he doesn't care about. Might as well even call him a hypocrite. I might even take the Prophet out of Islam. He doesn't even care about the deen of Allah. Using hikmah doesn't mean leniency. Using hikmah doesn't mean, wallahi, you're not being firm. Using hikmah means you get in there. And that's how the Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam
was.
Look, isn't zakah part of the deen? How come the Prophet ﷺ didn't answer the truth like in your way? If you want to put it, when the bunch of companions came, or a tribe came to him,
and
came to him and told him, "A Prophet Allah, okay, we want to pray, we're willing to become Muslims, pray and not pay zakah." How come the Prophet ﷺ accepted that and didn't answer the truth? Explain that to me, please. Explain that to me. Why doesn't the truth have to be spoken? Why didn't the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say the truth?
I'm not saying that, Sheikh, in that particular. Throw all these examples out because it's nothing compared to what we're talking about here.
That's exactly what you're talking about. When someone asks you a question, why don't you say the truth?
No, all I'm saying, Sheikh, is the effects. Effects of not answering will make the person, the listener, walk away thinking that you've okayed it, you've made it halal.
It's exactly like the example I've given you. Like that tribe walked away, then the Prophet okayed it, and khalas, that's it, spread it on.
I thought it was right not to pay zakat.
They've explained that for me too, you know what I mean?
He knew the outcome of it.
Is that leniency from the Prophet?
Sheikh, the thing is, the only reason why I'm saying this for is because it starts from here, then from other more and more examples, having the same mind frame, there'll be majority of then the firmness will slowly
exactly like the Prophet.
Go away.
Exactly like the Prophet.
No, what I'm saying,
Sheikh, exactly is like the Prophet. It's exactly 100%. Well, I'll give you 100 million percent. You have to differentiate between firmness. Hello. And wisdom.
Hello.
Having wisdom doesn't mean lenient. Okay, dealing with people with wisdom doesn't mean you're lenient. People mix wisdom with lenient. Like, for example, if you gave a wise answer to someone, we're like, he's lenient. Wallah, having wisdom, the way you deal with people and speaking to people and giving da'wah and trying to attract people to the deen, it doesn't mean lenience.
But you could have wisdom, but at the same time in a lenient way.
لا حز منو هذا كله هذا كله غلط حز هذا والله كله حز والله في وانا لوكر انت ذا واي اوف ذا بروفيت صلى الله عليه وسلم كله عم كله غلط لانه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اكزاكتلي اول ذيس ثينجز ذي تراين تو البروفيت ديد اول اوف ات دوزنت مين انه والله لين يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني از ذا يعني هيز ويزدم واز تو لينين ان حديبيه حز هيز ويزدم ان لين تو لينين ان حديبيه
بس لو ورا ورا
تو ساي انه والله يعني حتى اف اي مسلم كان تو اسك بروتكتور فور مسلم ذن ايفن جيفن شو هل لي انسى
this is what I'm trying to say. I mentioned the point the other day with you with the mashayikh. What you just said now,
still recording.
What you just said now, for example, with I'll ask the same question to another sheikh. He'll say the same thing. He'll say,
yeah.
Maybe to a different scale. Remember, you say how you got that bloke Bikra
the Shabab
before your lessons, for example, right? And then he goes, at the end of it, Fatiha, it's not part of the Sunnah. Maybe you
do that. The whole reading is not even part of the Sunnah.
Reading
the Fatiha, I'm not going to
maybe about what he means, things like that. And if you could
talk to him, for example.
Then the whole jami ends up doing it, and it's not part of.
What's wrong with my reading Fatiha after reading
Fatiha? I don't know. I thought people.
Not there, Shaykh.
One
reading Fatiha, one read Fatiha, get rewards. There's nothing wrong with that because the whole reading is not even there.
But what about
everyone?
What's your
feeling?
Whooping each other.
Yeah, that's people that done that.
It's not haram. I'm saying, for example, for what he just said.
That's what he means always. That's what he's talking about.
No offense, I will relate to him that in this area, another Mashaykh here, or Shantaj or Mashaykh here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
for you saying, our brothers, read the Fatiha every single day. I'm saying, for example, you can maybe tell the brothers.
Yeah. I told the brothers, they're not understand Sheikh Yahya. Not in my mind. I should sit down and say, he might come out. I know what he's trying to say. Some brothers don't know. Who's Shadi? 100% everyone's going to understand. They want the same mind frame kind of
thing. This is a twerp. Allah Sheikh made me, you're allowed to wipe yourself like that. And all the
reflections. Well, it means that when you get someone else.
Sheikh, wallahi, Sheikh, you know the smallest thing on these people? Wallahi, reflect on the
other.
عرفان
يعني بس هلا في شغلات يعني هلا انت هلا يعني هلا the Muslim nation especially يعني هي there's much major things
to worry about
to start changing يعني
هلا عندك sickness in the heart, man.
يعني there's the big problems in the Muslim community that we need to want to work on before والله أستأ working on والله على كم من شغلة هون
on that point Sheikh, كمان this is on having that understanding. But at the same time, we're not doing nothing, none of it.
Why are you saying we're not doing none of it?
Well, I'm just saying on the big scale,
if no, we start off with the small ones
and keep growing,
we're trying to do something.
A listener's point of view, for example, a student's point of view, for example, he's here waiting for changes. He wants to be a very good Muslim. He's not going to sit down and wait because the Mashaykh are busy with the big stuff. He wants little stuff. He wants little issues to be.
That's up to him to change it. If it's a little
sorry.
Thing. If you want to change,
yeah, but if the Mashaykh are not worried about it, then what should you worry about?
Like, Ahaz, you're talking about something. Umalu ala of Shaykh. Ahaz, Allah, for example, this guy, yani, for example, first time come to the mosque. I'm worried about this guy to start coming to the mosque and then start praying and then leaving the haram. And then Allah start coming telling him about these things when his mind starts to accept to talk to him about those things.
I watched a lecture. I used to do the Fatiha. I watched one lecture and he said it's not right. I stopped it.
Yeah. What Fatiha?
That's what I mean.
Like, say Fatiha for engagements or for... Yeah, well, I stopped it myself because I got the knowledge from that lecture.
You know what it is too,
that's what he
and for example,
it's not
like,
actual Fatiha.
My point of view, but I'm saying for what I learned, experiencing coming to the mosque, I got confused, man. So if I come to an environment like that, we should clean this environment. I'm trying, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I'm saying for a person to come to religion, so I won't get confused. There's a lot of brothers, wallahi al-azim. There's a lot of brothers, you come out on the streets. This Sheikh Billy, Fatah's this. This Sheikh Billy, this and that. Look, yeah. I mean,
we start to pick on things, and we forgot about the major.
Confusion means that they're thinking. There's about hundreds of boys left the religion because of this small basito man. If he's not taking two care,
that's where I come back.
Sitting on the minbar talking about Fatiha and talking about this, where he shouldn't even be talking about.
That's what I'm coming to. People, because we pick on the small things and make these brothers forget about the major thing, we just made these people walk away from the deen. Just for that, Anna. For example, Anna Wahad
بعيد عن الدين لا بيصلي ولا بيصوم and he's got a big problem in his life. دجا أقول له والله listen فاتحة كذا فاتحة أنا أفكر أنا ما عندي أنا I'm worried about this guy to stop praying and then when I get him to stop praying I want him to stop haram and then I want him to start coming to the mosque and then this guy will start accepting things like that. أما والله إنه والله I'm worried about والله I'm worried about the guy he reads فاتحة and is confused about whether فاتحة السنة كذا شو الحكي هذا you know I mean
look
You just said it with your Anton. Which sheikh will disagree with you saying that wallah salat is fard? Which sheikh will disagree with you wallah coming to the mosque is recommended? Then subhanallah, what are people confused over? Wallah, this sheikh tells me Fatih has Allah kaza and none of them are confused over coming to the mosque. But that's what ihna, because ihna why? Because ihna we're focusing on things like that. Yeah, we've got bigger problems in the Muslim community that we need to take care of and get this guy starting to come abil mawla alayla ala shaghlat wallah inna wallah fatiha wap in the face or kaza. Let me get this person to the deen.
You know the tricks of shaitan.
Of course, that's why.
That's what I'm saying.
If we occupy these people with the major things, they're not going to be occupied with the minor things. If I occupy this guy, yeah, hello, for example, how many brothers, for example, that gas almost straight away they come. To me, someone not praying is much bigger problem. I'll tell you something. And hello, for example, the riba issue came up. Okay, and someone to me not praying is 100 times worse than him taking 100 riba. This guy, you know, is on the edge of falling into out of kufr, you know what I mean? And to me, someone that's not praying, it's 100 times worse than taking riba. فَأَنَا كَيْفْ أَنَا بِدِّي أَجْ أَحْكِي لُهُ عَلَى مَوْضُوعَ I come to him and speak to him about riba when the guy's got a massive problem, you know what I mean? So I told him, أخي, start praying. أنا شُتَخَنَّ بِالرِبَ When you start praying, and then I start finishing off the minor major problems, بعدين بجي بقول أخي listen فعندك شغلة اسمها ربا like for example someone is struggling to carry 10 kilos بجي بقول له listen يا أخي you have to carry another 100 يا أخي now you have to carry another 100 مشكلتنا إحنا we occupy people with the minor things I know it's minor, it's a major, but it's minor but I've got something.
Where's the whistle?
It's a switch. You heard me tell me it's not a switch.
It's a switch.
Yeah, I'm Shari, I agree with you, brother. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm talking about, we've passed that point of view. The black is in the mosque praying, starting.
That's when we're teaching.
The reason why I'm saying that is because this firmness that I'm talking about and this habit towards the firmness, it's attracting these kind of people. Even though it's not right,
has, you know
it's
why
attracting
it's attracting them. You know why it's attracting them? Yeah. Because it's hawa. Shahawat.
The sheikh, it's not that.
It's only hawa. I'm telling you, it's only hawa.
For example, if we take pride about towards and be strong and take it seriously towards such matters.
Mahmoud, but it only attracts those certain people. How about the rest of the people?
Sorry?
The rest of the people, all their life also. Some of these issues, because all their life they're built on tradition.
Yeah.
They're loaded with tradition, so if you come and tell them that, believe me, I've seen in my own eyes, brother, this Fatiha, they need to kill me. Because their whole life, 30 years, they've been built on tradition.
But have you told them about Salah? لما بتقول لنا على الصلاة بتقول لنا على الفاتحة
they asked me they were challenging me they wanted to war they started
he's telling you everybody this guy's gonna challenge me
they were saying me and أنت عملت الفاتحة حرام طلع من بيتنا
يا عمل that big hey mate بيت العالم عالم الدين mate they're not gonna have the traditions
من يا mate the hope mate So you say that to these people.
And hello, Mahmoud, if it's about wallah, it's attracting these type of people, and these people are just looking where they're going to put their desires. Well, sorry to say, brother, I'm not interested in people of that. Because these people, at the end of the day, they're only going to take from me desires. Has wallah, la has atoya, la it is. has it is, but
we can't judge people's hearts, you know.
No, I'm telling you, but it is. You know why? Because that's not the deen.
And it's Sheikh, when you show
has, it's not the deen.
No, no, I know what he means. When you show firmness and you show
that, it keeps firm,
you know, it keeps firming the religion and take it seriously. But when you show him, and it's in your eyes, you might see it. It's small, but if you show people like it's nothing, it's okay, there's bigger problems.
That's what I told you. I told you. That's what I told you. Firmness has got its place. Lenience has got its place. Okay, you show people firmness when it's time to be firm, and you show people lenience when it's time to be lenience. But to mix that with this, and this with that, that's why to mix this with that and mix that with this.
I'm just looking at us here. I think that this balance is very, very. We've got too much of the lenience thing.
You're mistaken, Mahmoud.
Look.
And I'll tell you, you're absolutely mistaken.
Sheikh, in the end,
you're looking at it wrong.
Sheikh, in the end, whoever's open minded is going to accept things. Whoever's closed minded, you got to treat them in another way.
Yeah. And Allah, to say, in Allah, we're too much in the lenience and firmness, you're wrong, brother. Absolutely wrong. Because if we were like this, Allah Azza wa Jalla would not send you that many people. And Allah Azza wa Jalla put this idea on your hands.
I'm just seeing the effects. Of this.
Has the effects? You're talking about, a bunch of people, like how the Prophet had hypocrites around. What could the Prophet do to him? As much as firm he's going to be, they're not going to listen to him. As much as he spoke to him, they're not going to change him. As much as he told them, they're not going to change him. Why? Because they're hypocrites at the end of the day. They're only after their desires. And at the end of the day, there was also companions with weak hearts. They start to follow him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, who's more better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muhammad, who's better than Muhammad? Yeah, no matter what the Prophet did, they're not going to accept it at the end of the day. Because these people want their desires at the end of the day. Whatever the Prophet spoke to them, they're not going to listen because these people want their desires. And those people you're talking about, Mahmoud, exactly the same thing. No matter how firm you're going to be, they're not going to accept it. No matter how lean you're going to be towards them, they're not going to accept because they want their desires. And people like that, Anabullah, personally, I am not interested in them because they're a waste of time.
I'm not talking about just such people, you know. I'm just in general,
I know exactly what you're talking about because I've opened that topic many times. I'm telling you, in general, alhamdulillah. In general, Allah Azza wa Jal put a lot of hidayah on your hands because of the attitude that we have. Probably look at it and Allah, probably a bit leaning because of it, but look what Allah had given you on your hands. Allah Azza wa Jal's got so many youth on your hands because of the attitude. If you wanted to choose the attitude that you're thinking of to choose, you're never going to have anyone in the mosque, and you're never going to have anyone sitting in front of you.
There's some kind of balance.